This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 28.
Oh my God!
Catriona swung the lamp slowly from side to side. It was obvious from her wide-eyed expression and hesitant movements that she was frightened, but still she stood her ground. She had, after all, braved the entry to the cave on her own, and now her fear was as much for Tom's safety and sanity as for her own. Tom could not see what she could. The boy had been lying in total darkness. He jumped to his feet as she approached and now stood blinking rapidly as he stared in turns at the lamp and then the girl. His face, his clothes, his matted hair were coloured cremation grey. His shoes and lower legs were sopping. Blobs of congealed dust clumping the fabric in the stone floor he stood on. But it was his face that shocked Catriona. Even in the super white light of the gas lamp, despite the ashen makeup trying to fake the look, beneath the macabre illusion of a stage setting, the girl could see that Tom's real skin was the colour of death.
"There's no one here,"
whispered Tom, as if that explained everything. Made it safe. She stretched her hand, her eyes glancing at the rusty chain hanging from the wall. Tom took the proffered hand. He felt her flinch as they connected and saw her face twist as she resisted the urge to pull back. But when nothing happened, no ghoulish pictures invaded her head, she gripped him tightly and pulled him to her and away from the open cell. They walked through the large cavern, past the strange bookcase, the pile of empty books he'd thrown on the floor. He had an urge to look again, but Catriona's pace did not slow and he was too weak, too emotionally battered to resist. That changed when he saw a single, loose-bound volume lying on the ground beneath the table. Something lurched inside Tom. He recognised the object as surely as he'd recognised the Heartstone. It, too, had belonged to his mother. He wrenched himself from Catriona's grasp and stood to pick it up. Catriona was about to snap at him when she saw his fevered hands fumble the object with reverential fear.
"I know this,"
he whispered, and then commanded,
"The lamp!"
Catriona looked towards the exit tunnel and then at the blackness of the cave beyond the reach of the bubble of light. She shivered but was infected by Tom's sudden excitement. She placed the lamp on the table and drew herself to the boy's side as he lay the book flat on a dusty top.
"My mother. It was hers."
Catriona stiffened.
"Your mother? How?"
But her words trailed away. Their shared vision of the family gathering during the seance was still strong. So too were the feelings of love and devotion between the woman and Tom. And this was her diary? Catriona suspected that Tom's need for a family made him overreact to the vision she had conjured. But there was no doubting he had found the cave exactly where he'd looked for it. And now the diary. Could it be hers? The sense of evil in the cave was difficult to fight, but if something was going to attack them, then surely it would have done so already. Tom caressed the cover. Given his earlier experience with the bookcase, he feared the pages would be as blank as those in that strange collection. But when he flicked through the bundle in his hands, he saw immediately that he was wrong.
"It's the same paper,"
Catriona whispered. Both Tom and the girl pictured the woman scribbling happily on the beach before her world turned to pain. To call the bundle a book was a stretch. Rough paper scratched over with black ink, kept together by a loose leather cover, crackled in his hands and threw dust into the air. Catriona sneezed. The paper was so dry that Tom worried the thing might disintegrate with each tiny movement. He lay the pile flat on the table and turned the front cover with two hands as though he was a librarian entrusted with a first edition Bible. The heart beneath his fingers touched his mother's words for the first time in years, and he gasped at the sight of her neat and artful writing. Centred, and still bold despite years of neglect, she had written, "The Private Journal of Kathleen Henderson, 1852 to... The final date was incomplete and Tom ignored the obvious implication. In his world, nothing was obvious. Some of the entries were unreadable, but whole passages survived intact, the writing a flourish of swirls and loops waltzing through her life. The first complete sentences were close to the beginning. Another good night. Please, God, let her live. And 2 pages on, her cough's back. Blood and phlegm. She looks so frail. It was another 10 pages before he read the following. A part of me feels guilty for wanting Mother back, for missing her so. God has taken her pain away. Father James says I should rejoice. I must be a selfish woman because I can't see beyond the loss of her. Various partial entries talked about the funeral, and it was obvious to Tom and Catriona that the woman was alone in the world. She had looked after her mother for so long that she had no life of her own. There was a long period when little was written before the journal took another turn. Father James has a job for me. I know little of the case, but he urges me to leave for Arran immediately. It's so far away. And soon, another entry. The bailiff has given me 2 days to leave the house. Mother was a master at hiding her debt. I had no idea. And further on again. Mr. Silas called. Poor man is wretched. He was disfigured badly trying to rescue his wife from a fire. He's left with 2 babies. I must help. Tom stiffened, drew a gasp of fetid and dusty air. He knew exactly who those babies were, and he was devastated on so many levels that his head began to spin. He tightened his grip on the stone and willed the soft embrace of his mother to enfold him, to protect him from this new and vile truth. But the embrace did not appear, and the truth closed and crushed and crumpled the carefully constructed world that centred in the love of his mother. And the truth was that she wasn't. She wasn't his mother, but a lost soul lured to a poor man whose need was greater than hers. A poor unfortunate, crippled and heroic, George Silas. DreamWorks.com.